Can we turn, please, to Nehemiah chapter 1? Nehemiah is a very godly man. And Nehemiah is a man of prayer. And in verse 5, we begin to see the substance of Nehemiah's prayer. And I said, I prayed, O God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. You see, Nehemiah is not praying to some vague words. He knows, first of all, who he's praying to. The Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God. That's who he's praying to. The eternal God of heaven. Because he knows his God. And he knows this God is in control of this whole situation. He's got this burden and this concern about the people and the state of the city of Jerusalem. And he knows where to go in prayer. He goes to his God in heaven. And it's interesting, if we were to really look at and study Nehemiah's prayer here in chapter 1, you'd realise, or we would soon realise, that Nehemiah was a man who also knew his scriptures. And there's a lesson for us. Of course, we have far more scripture than Nehemiah had. Far more than what Nehemiah had. But how important it is to be diligent in studying of the scriptures. Because when people would seek to attack the church with false doctrine, or perhaps they'd pick up a verse here or there and come out with all manner of wonderful exposition based on just one verse. And yet, as you look through the scriptures, you know what basically they're talking is rubbish. You know, we need to study the scriptures from Genesis right through to Revelation and know what it teaches and what it doesn't teach as well, to some extent. And he immediately is, it's straight, Nehemiah acknowledges that God is able to do mighty things. O great and awesome God, you, and observe your commandments, please, your ear be attentive, he goes on. But there he is, O Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you. That's the sort of God we need to pray, we need when we come in prayer, at home, on Thursday afternoons, or other prayer meetings that we may go to from time to time. That we'll be coming to this awesome God. And in the sense that where he says awesome, it can also mean terrible. Because God is not only able to bless people and save them, he's also able to do terrible things. One only has to look at what's happened to Jerusalem and the people of Judah. In those days, sadly, Nehemiah would have known all about the exile of the Jews to Babylon and how Nebuchadnezzar destroyed most of the city of Jerusalem. But you see, Nehemiah doesn't come in a cringing way to this awesome God, because he prays in confidence.
He doesn't pray in anything of his own might or his own merit of who he is. Remember, he's got a very important position. He's a trusted man. Doesn't say that. He relies totally and utterly on God's grace and truth. Your covenant and mercy with those who love you. Nehemiah says to the Lord, I love you. I'm looking to you, Lord, for mercy, for grace, for help. And surely that must be our prayer. For our situation here in this church. Hey, we need the grace of God to enable us even to continue up to Easter. Let alone going on and further in. And even thinking about next year. See how he addresses the Lord here. He comes in such a, if you like, a humble way. Humble and reverent. And surely that's the need for us. To come before God in humility and reverence. And we need to apply this aspect of prayer to ourselves. It's sometimes you go to a prayer meeting and people are talking to the Lord as though he's their next door neighbour. Or very similar. Very little respect. Very little reverence for who we are actually praying to. And he's talking here about, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant. You see, Nehemiah is speaking to a personal God. And surely this is one of the wonderful major blessings of the Christian faith. That it is a personal thing. You don't catch it. You don't inherit it. You don't get it through a ritual. You get it through a personal response to the gospel. When you see and understand that when Jesus hung on that cross, he died for your sins, for my sins in particular. And so when we come in prayer, even when we come as a group, we are still coming as saved individuals. And when we pray in the morning, we talk to the Lord and say that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Saviour. And he is my Lord. And I'm coming before you, Heavenly Father, in his name. And we have a God who listens to the prayers of his people. Isn't it frustrating when you ring someone up and you get the engaged tone? Or you get the, I'm sorry, I'm not here to take your call. If you leave your name and number, we will get back to you. Some do, a lot don't. It can be so frustrating, can't it? I've never yet come to the Lord in prayer and been told I've got to wait. Or I'm not available. I'm doing something else. I'm out. Never had that. Whatever time we come. You know, if you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you can't get back to sleep. Instead of worrying about all sorts of things, as the hymn says, take it to the Lord in prayer. Because he's awake. He's forever open. The God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And he loves to hear his children pray. And Nehemiah is asking here, in his most humble way, and his most reverent way, that his prayers will be accepted by God. And he prays night and day. I pray before you now, night and day. Not for himself, he says, for the children of Israel, your servants,
and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Night and day, Nehemiah's burden was so much that he was before the Lord in prayer, both in the daytime and in the nighttime. And I wonder how we match up to Nehemiah's intensity in prayer. And maybe if that's why Nehemiah had his prayers answered, and maybe we don't. And he comes in confession before God. And confess the sins of the children of Israel. Nehemiah is a godly man. And yet he feels he needs to confess his sins before Almighty God. But he includes himself in this, which we have sinned against you. Remember Daniel in chapter 9. Now Daniel was one of the most godliest men that we find in the scriptures. And he comes before the Lord in prayer and he says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant, etc. And then in verse 5, we have sinned and committed iniquity and done wickedly. And ever rebelled, and so on. There is this godly man, Daniel, who God has greatly used in his time in Babylon, and yet he includes himself in the nation. We. And perhaps there's something there for us when we pray, maybe for our own nation. We are partly responsible, perhaps, I don't know. But there is this godly man, Nehemiah. And he still feels the need to confess his sin before Almighty God. And there is a need, is there not, for every one of us to confess our sins. Yes, we do it when we come to faith in Christ. But we don't stop sinning then, do we? We don't believe in perfection, sinless perfection. And so there is still a need. And I would suggest that it's more meaningful as we come together. Although I have to say, some of the language from the prayer book has quite a lot of intense amongst it. Of course, I don't think the 1662 Book of Prayer is much in use today. But let me read to you what it says here. A general confession to be said of the whole congregation, all kneeling. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. But the problem is, of course, when you have prayers like that liturgy, is that when you do it every week, you learn it. I can quote that virtually without even reading it, because we did it so much in our early days when we were first saved. But when we do it individually, and substitute ourselves, it has a much more meaning. But of course, that's the problem with liturgy and ritual. We have to be so careful. But he carries on. And what he does, he continues to confess how things that have happened. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. You see, Nehemiah has in this confession how they, including himself, have corrupted their ways and their worship. And maybe there's some truth in that for ourselves. The attitude that we have when we come to worship. Someone said to me once that you only get a real blessing on Sunday if you just spend a proper Saturday. But he speaks here of breaking the commandments. And of course, when he speaks of the commandments, he's talking about the moral law. But of course, for him, in those days, there were statutes, the ceremonial law applied. And the judgments of the civil law. Well, okay, for today, for us, the ceremonial law and the civil law doesn't apply. But the moral law does. Sadly, there is a group of evangelicals that don't believe that. That the moral law has no further hold upon people today. You see, it's against God that we sin, isn't it? We looked at that this morning in Psalm 51. And it is in God that we reveal. God sees our corruption in every bit of detail. And notice again, as I said, how Nehemiah, like Daniel, identifies himself with his people. So easy, isn't it? When we talk about the state of our nation, it's in a mess. In every area. And we say, we have done this, and we have done that. You might say, well, what can we do? There are lots of things we can do. We can pray, of course. We still have the freedom to write to people in the parliament, and so on. But it's our country that's in a mess, not their country. It's not the government that's got us in a mess. It's the people of which we're part of as well. We are all in it. And we need perhaps to identify more with the sins of our nation. We do some terrible things in our name, isn't it? I wonder how many babies down at Eastbourne and over at the Conquest they'll destroy this coming week. It's done in our name. We think it's abhorrent. And one day the Lord will judge those who do it. But it goes on. And we are partly as much responsible, perhaps, as any. What does Nehemiah do? He pleads for mercy. And that's all we can plead for, isn't it? For mercy. Because he is mindful of the warnings and promises of God. Remember how he says here in verse 8, your servant Moses saying, if you're unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. So that's what he's done, isn't he? He gave them warning. Time after time after time, he sent them prophet after prophet. And they carried on. And so he scattered them. And a lot of them are there in Babylon. But, he says, if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them. So there are the warnings.
But also there are the promises of God. And Peter talks about, doesn't he, precious promises. Promises that are there for you and me and every other believing Christian. They are there for us. As I say, this man knows the scriptures. And actually here he quotes correctly. Doesn't just take a bit out. He quotes correctly. And a lesson again. We read in Psalm 119 and verse 49. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. And Nehemiah praised the relationship that is between him and God. We can do the same. We have a relationship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can come each day to the Heavenly Father, to the throne of grace, in the most wonderful and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we trust as we pray, our prayers are led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And our prayers should reflect the relationship we have with the Lord. It is so easy, isn't it? We had a chap when I was in a church in Wandsworth, and I think he must have had enormous faith. Because when he would pray for everyone in London to be saved. He'd pray for everyone in Britain to be saved. And I think he meant it. I mean, what a faith to pray that sort of prayer. You know, what a relationship we have with God will lead us surely in our prayer time with him. And in Isaiah, in chapter 63 and verse 19, we read this. We have become like those of old, over whom you never ruled, those who were never called by your name. You see, if people have not been called by your name, then their prayers will perhaps not be so effective. But we are called by name. The Lord knows each one of us personally. He saved us personally on the cross. And he loves to hear us pray. And here, of course, in this situation, here is Nehemiah praying for the protection of those who are there in Jerusalem. These are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper in this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Here he is, of course, he's praying and pleading the covenant of God, and we are to plead the promises of God. You see, Nehemiah prays on the basis of what the Lord has done for him. I'm sure you'd all agree with me tonight that God answers prayer. And I'm sure we could all go round and spend at least 10 minutes saying, hey, the Lord has answered our prayers in particular areas. And we'd all be able to say, wonderful, hallelujah. And surely on that basis, that the Lord has answered our prayers in the past, can we not assume, if we pray in the precious name of Jesus, that he'll answer our prayers today and in the future? What an encouragement it is to pray. To know that he has answered prayer in the past and continues to answer prayer today and will continue to answer prayer in the future. Because our God is a prayer-answering God. He hears every prayer we pray. doesn't always answer perhaps in the way we would like, but he always gives us an answer. And as I say, after this general confession, Nehemiah brings before the Lord a specific request. I pray, grant mercy in the sight of this man. The king of Persia is the man he's talking about. He is arguably the most powerful man alive at that time. He's the one that led the Medes and the Persians to beat and Belshazzar and the Babylonians. And now he's top dog. He's number one. But he's only a man. He's got flesh and blood. He's got arms and legs. He's only a man. And that's what he says here. In the sight of this man. And he will be the instrument that the Lord will use to send Nehemiah down to Jerusalem to encourage the people there and to get the walls and the gates repaired. And how often the Lord does that? Uses non-Christians to fulfill his will and purposes. And it ends with that, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah is cupbearer to the king. And you couldn't get much closer, could you? I mean, you know, if someone gives you a cup of tea, they don't throw it at you. You know, they don't give it to you at a distance. They come up to you and say, cup of tea, or whatever. And you just take it out of their hand. And I imagine it's much as similar here. He's wandering around with the cup. And the king gives him a nod. And off he goes. Gives the king his wine. The king has a swig. Hands it back to him. Remember that Nehemiah has now been praying for 4 months. And now he is encouraged to pray for success. Not only to pray for success, but to hope for success. This office he had was one of great honour and enabled him to have influence. I mean, the king trusted him. I mean, I imagine if you didn't like the king, I mean, you could easily slip something in his drink. But Nehemiah was a man that he could trust. This is a pagan we're talking about. And we hope. I was very encouraged and challenged by what they said about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, the common people heard him gladly. I always find that a challenge to me and my witness. Should be a great challenge to us. But you see, the Lord has put Nehemiah in this position. He is so well placed to serve the Lord and his country. And it's amazing. The Lord has his own people in all sorts of places today. And he's got you and I in all sorts of places today. He's got you in your particular home where you live. He's given you a relationship with your neighbours. And maybe other tradesmen that come by. He's put you in a family where you have unique access to them, which the rest of us wouldn't have. He's given you friends that will listen to what you have to say, whereas they wouldn't listen to us. You know, God has his people, that's you and me, in all sorts of places. And he's not put us there just so that we can while away the time till we get to glory. He's put us there for a purpose. He had Nehemiah in the court there for a purpose. He's going to have Nehemiah down in Jerusalem, building the walls, strengthening the people and so on. And may the Lord encourage us. May he indeed help us where we live and the people that we can have influence in. And may we be encouraged to pray. To pray individually. To pray as families. To pray as a church. If the Lord does not answer our prayers for this church, we are dead in the water. That's not being scary. That is what will happen. If this church and its witness means anything to us, we need to be constantly in prayer for its future. That the Lord would indeed answer our prayers as we pray for various people to come in and help us. Because without them we will sink. It may not be for a year or 2 years. But it will surely happen. Unless the Lord steps in and sends us a man like Nehemiah, or people like Nehemiah. Well, may the Lord help us. May the Lord encourage us in our prayer and service for him. Amen.